There you go. That's the brilliant Philip Linnett with Old Town. And it's very much the Old Town we're going to talk about now, because joining me on the phone, I have Aideen Ní Cleric. And Aideen's going to tell us all about the restoration of Richmond Barracks. Good morning, Aideen. How are you?
How are you, Mark?
Not too bad at all, Aideen. I have to admit, when I heard about this first, the restoration of Richmond Barracks, I had never put Richmond Barracks and Keogh Square together. I don't know why I hadn't. My own father lived in Keogh Square.
Oh, did he?
Yes. So, but I had never, it was only when I was reading the piece, I went, oh, hold on a minute. But just for people who don't know, maybe give us a little bit of history about, you know, Richmond Barracks and then how it became a housing estate, a school, and so on.
Yeah. Just interestingly, before I get into that, Mark, it's just on Saturday, we had a day to remember here in the community centre in Michael's. St. Michael's Community Centre, just in, on the footprint of the barracks in Keogh Square. But loads and loads of people from Keogh Square came, because I suppose in restoring the Richmond Barracks, we also want to tell the story of Keogh Square, which is also an incredible. So anyway, it was just so interesting calling themselves the Barrackers and... Very, very, very interesting stories. But anyway, back to Richmond Barracks. So I suppose in Inchicore, about 5 minutes walk from Kilmainham Jail, just behind St. Michael's Church, there are three remaining buildings of Richmond Barracks. And like you, a lot of people don't know about Richmond Barracks.
But,
The barracks was a very, very large English barracks built in 1814. And as I said, there's three remaining buildings. And there's a local Inchicore Kilmainham Heritage Group would have held a candle for these buildings for years, because I suppose they're hugely significant to our national story. And the reason is that in 1916, after the Rising, anyone who was arrested and involved in the Rising was brought to Richmond Barracks, because it was a very large barracks with two squares.
And they
were used to sort the people out, sort out the leaders, pick out the leaders. And in fact, one of the remaining buildings is a gymnasium. It was a soldiers' gymnasium. And that's where a lot of that sorting and selecting took place.
Yeah.
So all of the people who were involved, including 77 of the women who fought in the Rising, all of the leaders were selected in that hall. A lot of them held overnight and then marched down to Kilmainham. There were court martials took place in the buildings as well. So we would have put together, worked, as I said, a local heritage group and the Dublin City Council, and we would have put forward a proposal called The Lost Chapters of Our National Story. And now Richmond Barracks is one of the seven permanent reminder projects that the taxpayers of Ireland are investing in. So it's fantastic. The two buildings are going to be done up. And we're going to tell not only that story, the 1916 story, which is hugely important, but as you say, the Keogh Square story, because later on, in the late 20s, after the barracks was handed over to the Irish Army, it was then handed over to Dublin Corporation, and as you were talking about, it became Keogh Square.
And of course, it's that history with the centenary of 1916 upon us that has probably maybe instigated this restoration of the barracks, because it's such a pivotal role that it played in the events of 1916.
Absolutely, I mean absolutely. If you think about it, if Kilmainham Jail is the last act of the whole events of the drama of 1916. The second last act was in Richmond Barracks, and so we on our website on Richmond Barracks, you can go on and you can click on in one of the launch events we had in the barracks, and you'll see Honor O'Brolacon, who was the Plunkett's great grandniece, talking about her great uncles who were held in the room she stood in. And so it's, you know, in days like a virtual this and that, you can actually, in Richmond Barracks, you can stand in the room where all the leaders were held, where 77 women who were involved in all the garrisons in the city fighting for Irish freedom were held in this room. And so it's a very important place And as we said, all the court martials of the leaders and others took place there. So that's certainly one very, very important story that, you know, hasn't really been told. And so we were determined that, and the local heritage group and community organisations were determined that those stories would be told and the connections would be made.
Yeah, because I suppose, you know, we've all kind of grown up, you know, talking about 1916, reading about it, learning about it in school. But I think now suddenly, because of the centenary coming, 1916 now is suddenly very real to Dubliners. And again, and you know, been lots of politicking, I suppose, about what kind of events we're going to have to mark the centenary and everything else. But I think it's really important that when the centenary does come around and whatever, there are celebrations for the people. And again, doing things like this at Keogh Square and the barracks and restoring that, it's something giving back to the people and giving them something then that they're going to have forever. And it's going to kind of keep the memories of 1916, I suppose, alive for the next whatever generations come along.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, like, obviously, you know, the Rising lit a spark for independence for Ireland, and it matters to all of us. But I think you're right. It's not about freezing these kind of events in time and just saying, oh, that's all about history. It's about what you create from it and, as you say, giving back to the people of Dublin or people of Ireland. And that's what we're hoping to do as a community-based project working with the council. So, for example, as I said to you, there were women who were active in all the garrisons throughout the city, and they were, you know, some of them were factory women, some of them had been involved in the 1913 lockout, and they were coming among women, and they came together and got involved. They had struggled for the right to vote, for example, and a lot of other things. But so what a local yarn school here, a textile school, and ourselves were teaming up. And we've got 77 women from today, local women who are activists from around the city, have come together, and they're creating a quilt with 77 squares to remember these women. But not, as you said, to like freeze it in time, but to say, what did those women, what was their legacy, what were they doing, what was their activism about? And studying their lives, so we're producing a book, which is written by two historians, one a Dublin woman, Liz Gillis, and a Kerry woman, Mary McCall, of both historians, and they're writing a book on these 77 women. And again, a lot of them were Dublin women, and they were young women, and they got involved because they were idealistic, and they wanted to change things, and they wanted things to improve for Irish people, and they wanted the vote, and they wanted you know, independence. So we're celebrating them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and also that you talked about earlier on about Keogh Square.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of our work, because Keogh Square was, you know, housing, social housing in Dublin. It was when they converted, there was a housing crisis. So nothing changes under the sun, the housing crisis, and people were housed in Keogh Square, in often very, very difficult and hard conditions. And there's still a lot of those people, it's still within living memory. So we want to tell that social history of Dublin. What happened in Keogh Square, what was life like there. And so part of the exhibition centre that we'll be at, Richmond Barracks, we're going to recreate a living space from Keogh Square. So we're not going to forget that.
Yeah.
Our big thing is not to, you know, the way history can often be the who's who, as opposed to history from below.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, that's what we're trying to tell.
Yeah, tell that was. And I suppose, you know, around the barracks, and then it was such a time of change in Ireland, you know, those years from, you know, maybe 1910, 1912 onwards, as you say, the lockout, through the Rising, through the War of Independence, the Civil War, we the First World War in those years. And then, you know, as a fledgling state, all the economic and social problems that went with that. And as you say, this part of Dublin was right at the centre of all of that, going through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, right up to the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think Inchicore and Kilmainham, really, between them, have incredible stories to tell. You know, as you said about the British military history,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as you talk about, say, the First World War, so the barracks, Richmond Barracks, would have been very, and obviously there's the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham, and, you know, they were very involved in the First World War. I think any of the regiments coming from England would have passed through Richmond Barracks. Local mm-hmm. historian Liam O'Mara has written a very, very good history of Richmond Barracks, looking at that military history as well. But and in his book, he talks about, for example, that poet Francis Ledwidge, who was a British soldier in the First World War, with kind of a Republican heart, and wrote amazing poems and read poems at the barracks. And I think that kind of gets back to the question you're raising, is just such a complex history.
Mm-hmm.
And those buildings, I think, sometimes address the complex history, like the young men who went to war in mm-hmm. English uniforms, do you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And with some with Republican hearts, you know, that's very interesting. But I agree with you. I think Inchicore and Kilmainham is just bursting with national history, military history, social history.
Yeah.
And as I was saying to you, on Saturday just gone, we had an event to try and build up, get memorabilia and people to bring artifacts and things to the community centre so we could scan them and take photos of items to start building the people's history, not just, you know, who writes, you know, the higher
yeah.
level history, but just to gather people's history, and that would be we'd gather an archive and hold that in the barracks. And people had incredible stuff.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and stuff from Kew Square, stuff from, you know, medals,
mm-hmm.
You know, various different things. We have a sword, we have a Union Jack. Oh, lots of very interesting things came up. But so we're gathering that. But I think you're right, yeah, that whole area is very full of
absolutely.
Yeah.
So moving on now, as the first sod was turned last week by the Lord Mayor Crean in Nidalig. And what's the kind of timescale now? They're looking for the works to be finished in time for the centenary next April, or is it going to be ongoing?
We're actually May Mark, because we're so what we're commemorating is the first court martial. So that was May 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah, so Pierce and Clark were court martialed, so we'd be commemorating that. So we're opening on May 2nd. We're on time, we're ready. Crean and Idoly turned the sod, and Purcell Construction have the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Also on that day, which was lovely, was the local school, Our Lady of Lourdes National School, their pupils are so interested in history, but we organised that they got their flag and their proclamation in the barracks. So that was an incredible day,
mm-hmm.
because all the school students were there, and the proclamation was read out loud by a captain from the Irish Army, and she read it out. And in the very room where all the leaders and the 77 women that we talked about were held.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was amazing to have the proclamation read out loud and then presented with their tricolour. And so that was lovely. So, 6 months. So we'll be opening our doors. We'll be opening our doors, therefore, where we'll have the exhibition to the court martials. We'll have the quilt that has been made for the 77 mm-hmm. women. That'll hang there also. And we're retaining as well in the buildings a classroom, a 1920s classroom, because obviously it was a school as well.
Yeah.
Some of the barracks was used as a school. And so it'll be really interesting that mm-hmm. you'll be able to go into the barracks and look at all these, you know, parts of social history, educational history, I suppose, but and then this huge, huge connection to 1916, so it'll be very interesting.
It sounds really exciting, and I have to say now, I look forward to next summer and being able to go over and have a look around, because there's a little bit of personal history there for myself as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be really exciting to go over and see it. The opening, as you say, is for May the 2nd, you're aiming for, yeah? Yeah.
May the 2nd. And if you want to keep up with things, it just pop on our website, on Richmond Barracks. And for you, there's also, when you're talking about Keogh Square, you know, Keogh Square, the ex-residents of Keogh Square have a Facebook page, so it's worth looking that up, where they all keep in touch with each other. But people will be able to follow events. But our two key events, I suppose, Mark, are May the 2nd is when the barracks doors will open.
Yeah.
And there will be exhibitions to commemorate the incredible history we've just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But also then on March the 8th, which is International Women's Day, the 77 women of Richmond Barracks, our book will be launched, Realists and Idealists, that I spoke about, those two historians.
Yeah.
And our quilt will also be unveiled in IMA, along with the president will be at that event. So it's a national event that we've pushed for to commemorate the women of 1916. So that's on May the 8th, 2016. But our doors will open on May the 2nd.
Brilliant. Well, as I say, I very much look forward to getting over and having a good look around. And I had a brief look at the website over the weekend and just looking at some of the photographs and stuff on there, and some great memories for people who may have had relatives or who may still have people living, like my own father still alive, who has a connection to the place. So, it really is wonderful. The website is just richmondbarracks.ie, is that correct?
That's it, richmondbarracks.ie.
Absolutely. Aidan, listen, it's been fascinating talking to you this morning, and I do really, really look forward to getting over and having a good look around next year.
Yeah.
And congratulations to everyone involved. We wish you every success, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Thanks a lot, Aidan.
Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.